Allah has seen it with my native tongue. The section or the portion of Arami Yudovi Vayered Mitzrayim, a text in which the pilgrim of old used to recite on the occasion of Avoad Bikurim, offering the first fruit of his land in the sanctuary in the Beis HaMikdash. This text was integrated into the Agode as a central pillar. Everything else in the Agode was structured around the parsha, the section, the Arami Yudovi. It would appear, I'm studying the Mishnah, the Rambam, as if the recital of Arami Yudovi were indispensable for the full, perfect implementation of the mitzvah, of the commandment of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell the story of the Exodus on the 15th night of Nisan. As if this parsha, this section, formed the very core, the very substance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the question is simple, why? What prompted Chazal or rabbis to borrow the parsha of Arami Yudovi and integrate the latter into the Agode and simply structure everything else around that parsha? Apparently, the recital of the parsha by the pilgrim constituted an act of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The pilgrim was duty bound not just to recite a text, but to tell the story of the Exodus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. If I should use halachic lingo, I would say tzaron. The commandment to tell the story of Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, is binding upon a Jew on two occasions. One, when he offers the Bikurim in the sanctuary. Second, on the 15th night of Nisan. But it is an identical performance. The recital of the parshas we call Mikro Bikurim is not just a recital of a text, but it is the narrating of the events which occurred in Mitzrayim, and it is substantially, essentially, conceptually a performance of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Torah did not specify the text we are supposed to use on the first night of Nisan. She stated in general terms the Gadol HaBincha. However, she did point out the text which is to be read in Beis HaMikdash at the time of Avoad Bikurim. Ve'onisha v'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha Arami Yudovi, etc., etc. The conclusion is a simple one. If this parsha, Arami Yudovi, was recommended by the Torah as the exclusive text to be read in order to fulfill the commandment of Shiko Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is incumbent upon the pilgrim who brought Rasa Bikurim to the Almighty. Then there is a good reason to assume that the narration of the first and the first night of Pesach should avail itself of the same text. In both cases, we were commanded to tell the story of the Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Isn't it the case of A equals B, B equals C, that A equals C? Don't be discouraged, I'll come to you. I'll warm up. For the time being, we have to tolerate the halachic philosophy which prevailed there. Then, the common root of both, of Arami Vedori, which is recited on the occasion of Avraham's Bikurim, of offering the first fruit to the Lord, and the Agada, the common root of both, is to be found in one man, namely that of a Korasteva, of gratitude and thanksgiving. Maimonides, as well as the author of the Chinuch, the Rambam, emphasized Maimonides not only in Mera Nevuchim, but also in Sefer HaMitzvot, emphasized that the very essence of both mitzvah, the mitzvah Mikro Bikurim and Sipur Yedah Gadol, the very essence, consists in experiencing and expressing a sense of gratitude to the Almighty. The nation as a whole, the average, on the 15th day of Nisan, and the pilgrim on the occasion of his offering the first fruit in the Beis HaMikdash, we are duty bound to extol and praise the Almighty on both occasions. There is a common root by which both mitzvahs are nurtured. And that common root is the duty to acknowledge kindness and to give thanks. As a matter of fact, it's just plain habit on my part to say the Rambam and the Chinuch said. I mean, we state it in the Agave. ותיכוך אנחנו חגורים והילי של ההל, ונעימה ופונה שירו חדוש של ההל לוקו, ואין פרטס, תשקרייב רדיבנס, and telling the story of the Exodus in order to give thanks to the Almighty. And as far as Mikro Bikurim is concerned, there is a pasuk in the section of Mikro Bikurim Kesavim, which is a very difficult one. We got it again, Ladishem Rekecho, Kibosi Aloretz. What does mean, got it again? I do state, today that I've come to the land, that I've inherited the land. It doesn't have to state it anymore. So, Benazir says that we got it, he has this mandate of being thankful, appreciative, indebted, of our correspondence. I give thanks to the Lord by God that I have inherited the land which He promised to our ancestors. The charity is not in the sense of telling, narrating, stating, saying, I mean, makes very little sense in context of the pasuk in Parashat 7, what equality in the sense of Ani Mishabeach, I praise, I extol, I glorify, and so forth. And a matter of fact, there is a suggestion. I mean, I'm not subscribing to it, but there is a suggestion, and which merits our attention, that the word of God means Seraph. Not the God as story, but means Hallel. The God is called by the Shem Elokecha, who blesses the otherwise. It makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, this book would have been called Sipur, by all our God. The God is called Yilcho, the Mark of the Yilcho. We have also the expression, the man to Shatter was with Yilcho, when Yilcho is a Shresh Walker of Israel. So the Torah used many synonyms with regard to the story of the Tzitzis Mitzrayim. There is no reason why the book, the official book on the Tzitzis Mitzrayim, should be called the Agada, unless you accept Zinus and Nezir's interpretation of the word Agada as praise or glorification of an expression of thanks. So that's why our rabbis have introduced the same text on the night of Pesach, since the root of the mitzvah is one, namely, Haggadah, Gadati, Hayim, Radeshem, Rekecho, Vi, Gadatamim. At this juncture, right here, I wish to pick up the main topic of my shiur tonight. The topic of my fear, I mean, I did it in the car. But the topic of my fear is nine aspects. It will count for us, the 9, 10, or perhaps 8. I'm not sure. But in that vicinity, between 8 and 10. The 9 will settle for 9. Sure, compromise. The 9 basic aspects of the Agada. For purely pedagogical juristic reasons, I'm doing this analysis within the context of a comparative study of Agada, a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim recited by a Jew Pesach night, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim recited by the pilgrim of old in the Beis Hamikdash. I believe that the comparative, within the context of a comparative study, I'll succeed not only in comparing both commandments, but also in contrasting them, to see the differences and the similarities. Let us now take up the first aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill on the night of Pesach. And the problem and its relationship to the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which the pilgrim used to fulfill. As far as the first aspect is concerned, and what is the first aspect? I wouldn't ask about the 10, but about the first, I may ask. The first is simple. What is the first aspect, the halachic aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The first one, the very beginning, the most elementary one. What is it? Oh, you are going to read to me, Kadesh Vechad. I forgot it already. No. You have me wrong. What is the first halachic conceptual aspect? What should a Jew do in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Gadat of Yerucho? What is the most primitive approach to it? It's not so primitive, but not the most elementary approach. Yeah, what is it? What is it? Give me a definition. Let us divide the mitzvah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, into 9 parts. What's the first part?
What? No. So somebody said it, what I... To say it!
The first mitzvah, you say, what is the first aspect, the most elementary?
The simplest aspect of Tzvuras Yetzias, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Seder, is Sipur.
I mean, what is Sipur?
But Sipur is a very dangerous word in this context. I'll tell you. When you say Sipur, it means it can be my own literary creation. I'm Baruch Hashem literary. Talented, so why shouldn't I write in that way? Some people try, let's try, we're still trying. But why not my own people? I'll follow them. I'll follow them. Guidance, tradition, my own work. This is exactly why Arami Medovi was introduced. You tell it in the lingo of the scripture. If some people didn't understand it here, what I mean, I'll try, you have to tell it in this language as Torah of itself. You don't write a story like Exodus of Yitzhak, the story which is told, the text which was fit, the sentences, and the words which were standardized, they should be repeated and read. Reading, clear. If you want, you can call it a mirror, but I would prefer the word clear than mirror. Clear, to read, not your own creation. But a parsha, a section, of Torah Shebichtav. At this stage, or at this phase, when we say Agada, what do you understand by Agada? What do you understand by Agada at this phase? A reading of a certain fixed, standardized text. In Torah Shebichtav. And the text to be read was chosen by Chazal as the parshas Arami Evedori. So you need a text, a holy text, a text of Torah Shebichtav, and this, what I could read the parshas ways, and the Eiro, it's a beautiful description of the land, but more details than there, than in Arami Evedori. No, but that I can do. Not only must it be a text, as Torah Shebichtav, the text is fixed, standardized, namely, this text, Arami Evedori, which does not, which I can't find in Shmeis, in the Sefer Adullah, in the Book of Redemption, but I have to search for it. And finally, if I have patience, I'll find it at the end of the Chamisha Kuchetera, in Parshas Kesari. As far as this is concerned, that the first aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to read. And I would prefer Kriya to Amiro. I would also prefer Kriya to Agodot in this regard. Because Kriya means you read the text. With regard to that, so Mikro Bikurim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim are almost identical. Whatever you read at Mikra Bikurim, you are supposed to read at the Seder. However, the identity of Mikra Bikurim and Agode ends here at the first Esther. Shriya is only the first aspect of Haggadah. There are eight more aspects of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Do those aspects apply to Mikro-Bikurim as well, or they don't apply at all? They're completely different. That's what we will see. Can we discover Mikro-Bikurim, those dimensions which are so characteristic of the Agada? I doubt it very much. Let me analyze those aspects. What aspect do you have? Name or what? That's the first aspect. Kriya. Kriya means Kriya Saparsha. It was sixth and standardized by Chazal. As far as Mikro-Bikurim is concerned, that's all which the Torah has required of the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim. Just reading. And only reading, nothing else. There was no need for the Bikurim, for the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim, to explain what he read, to reflect upon what he read, to interpret. We just have to do mechanical reading, nothing else. However, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Passover night consists not only of recycling of a text, but, as I said it so many times, you see, I at least spoken 25 times about Agada. Now you want me to invent something new. Whatever I said in previous years belongs to you. If I should say it, I'll be accused of plagiarism. All right, let's try. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is basically, it's not homiletics, it is pure, strict halacha. Basically, a mitzvah or an act of Talmud Torah, of learning in depth, of exploring the various dimensions of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of an inquiry. Or as Chazal call it, Midrash, the Derech Kol HaParsha Kulo Aram Yeridon. We interpret the whole Parsha. And just reading the text is only one aspect of the mission. Reading does not suffice. One must interpret. And if you allow, if you have a goddess, and the boys told me that they have been selling a goddess to you, I mean. So what, how do you handle the Rameh of the parasha? How do you handle this parasha? How do you handle this parasha? You just say, Rameh is a year at Mitzrayim, a year at Shem Mitzrayim, a year at Shem Mitzrayim, a year at Shem Mitzrayim, they say it first quickly. Well, how do you handle the parasha, Rameh of the It was integrated in the Sefer Agada. Fine, how is it handled? What do you do with this parasha? Whoever has a goddess, you tell me. Each word is interpreted, analyzed, semantically analyzed. We are out to find the semantics of each word of the parasha. Melame. And we find those semantics by what? By comparative study. The word in Aramei Vedovi is transferred into a different frame of reference at Sefer Shmeis. And by comparing both texts, we draw the proper conclusions. So at the second stage, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim means interpretation of Torah Shebektav in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh. Hence, just reading of the text does not suffice. One must interpret it within the framework of the Pirush Bal Peh. In other words, the word Agadah, at the second stage, what does it mean? A Torah Shebal Peh analysis of the Torah Shebikshav text. Torah Shebal Peh analysis of the Torah Shebikshav from the biblical text. In our case, it is the analysis in terms of semantics and also in terms of concept of the text of Aram and Edomi in accordance with the 13 principles of Midrash, as a matter of fact, when the Gemara, when the Talmud in Broches speaks of Torah Shebal Peh, so that the Talmud divides Torah Shebal Peh into three categories: Midrash, Mishneh, and Gemara. Midrash means interpretation of Torah Shebikshav in accordance with the principles of exegesis and interpretation. There are 13 principles of interpretation. This is Midrash. Next is Mishnah. The Gemara speaks about Mishnah. The Gemara means Mishnah is, as well as clear halachic decisions or judgments. Halachic judgments is Mishnah. When the Gemara speaks about, when the Gemara mentions the word Gemara, the Talmud mentions Gemara, what is the Talmud in mind? Of course, the text of the Talmud, but moreover, what do you call Tultula Deraisa? Means Torah thought, thinking. Creative Torah thinking, what do you call Svara? Interesting is, that in the Ragada we have all three groups, both Midrash of Torah Shebikshav by Torah Shebal Peh, Mishneh, Halacha Brura, as well as Gemara. Well, in logical thinking, strict halachic thoughts, thinking. Where do you have Midrash? This is the Parshas Aramei Ritkoveh. Parshas Aramei Ritkoveh. Where do you have Halachas? First, Mishloam, after Shizvoram Rapesach, the Yotzei Dechavasi, correct? But then we say it for a different reason. Vafatoem Olei Kiyufas HaPesach, in Aftirin HaPesach HaTukumah. And where do you have Gemara? Means the deduction by the logic, intellectual activity. Mishneh Shebiyam, what? Mishneh Shebiyam? No, Mishneh Shebiyam is Midrash. Because you mean that the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef Agmili, this is Midrash. This is Midrash. I go back there. What do you say? Now it's another. Shalom Charanate, Ebrazam. The quote another. Whenever the Gemara quotes another text, so it comes under the category of Midrash. What? It's Midrash again. Again Midrash. This is a logical deduction. Right. The foundation is Midrash. That in every generation one should experience the exile and the redemption. But the conclusion is not Midrash, but Gemara. It means Svara. V'sichach anachna chayomim le'edis l'hala v'ol reyum mishma salomu v'la v'sveinu v'nishmai. Of course, you understand very well that the interpretation of Haggadah as a study in depth, as a midrashic study in depth, or a halachic study in depth, or a halachic logical halachic study in depth, this interpretation is not applicable to Mikra-Bikurim. Mikra-Bikurim is just reading. But Haggadah Shel Pesach starts with reading, of course. Reading of a text, but the reading is converted into a study, into an intellectual activity, into Talmud. Do you have the expression or the verb Haggai in context with Talmud Torah? Correct, we use with Mamre. It is similar with Sagid, Sagid with Israel. Let me Sagid wrong question to Gideon. It means wrong question to Gideon. It means you test on the Torah which I give you, the base Israel, and the verb which the Torah uses for the landing, for teaching, for guiding, study the basis of Israel. All right, this is Haggadah. Haggadah means to study, to learn, to understand. Now, second stage of Haggadah. The third aspect of Haggadah, which somebody suggested to me, because we spoke just recently, 5 minutes ago, about logical thinking, about the Gemara, Svara. Will somebody use it here and tell me? Also, I thought it's repeat. Aspect number one, technical, mechanical reading. Aspect number two, teaching, study in depth, fine, in Midrash. Now, aspect number three. What do you say? I can't reach. Teaching is correct. The Rambam says, mitzvah le'idia le'barim. It is incumbent upon us to tell the story to children. Apparently, the Haggadah constitutes not only a study in depth, but also a depth of masero, of passing on, of transmitting. One is obligated to teach and to pass on the story of Mitzrayim. It is an act of Maseira Mekabola. And when the body is recited, it is not only, it is addressed not only to listeners, but also to whom? Not only to listeners. But also to whom? You can be a listener, to students, to disciples, to pupils. One can be a listener, but not be a disciple. The Haggadah is not only I tell the story, somebody is listening, it's important, but I teach the story, somebody is being taught. It's exactly what Masero is. Now I would like you to prove it, that I'm right in this regard. That agoda at the third stage has the connotation of teaching, and I emphasize not so much, I'm not interested in teaching, as in material, in tradition, transmitting, passing down, doing them. However, from one generation to another, I'm emphasizing that. The other people can be just telling the story, he listening, I emphasize. But I'm not interested in listeners, I'm interested in Talmudic. I'm in the one of myself, I like to teach, I don't like to tell stories. No, but still not. Well, you mentioned the Chochom already, so what's the use of the Rosh? So you want benefit by introducing the Rosh and the tarnishing in Realish. Say or not means Matika Sonaram belongs somewhere else. No. There are some sentences in the Agoda. Very strange sentences in the Agoda. And you'll find it, if you have an Agoda, you'll find it before the Agoda, just when we are about to speak about the Agoda. So if only you come across a very strange sentence, whose meaning you don't understand, and if it was introduced, why was it introduced here and not at the beginning of the body? How do you start the story about the four bodies? It's very popular, the four sons. Baruch HaMokei, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemos HaMtero, Lama Yisroel, Keneged HaBor, Bonin Dibrotero. The whole sentence of Baruch HaMokei, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemos HaMtero, Lama Yisroel makes no sense. Is out of context. Whenever the Abba Bonin Dibrotero, he had Chochom, he had Rosh, he had Tam, he had Shemidei Rishon. Well, what's the meaning of Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, Baruch HaShoteir Olam Yisrael? I'll repeat it again. By mere association, could you remind yourself of something else? By mere association, can you remind yourself of something else? Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, Baruch HaShoteir Olam Yisrael. Remind yourself of something. After all, you are young, you have big memories. Bor Shoma? No, I'm not. The 64,000 miracles. No, 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 just no, 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 it's an abbreviation of Yosef Satan. Abbreviation of the blessings we pronounce every morning, which we call Yosef Satan, Baruch Atah Adoshim Rokhon Hashem Sisson Ha'asim Dere Zero, V'la'arev Nu Adoshim Rokhin Et Dere Zrosa Bifinu V'fi Amcha Bish Yisrael, V'ni Anachnu V'tzeinu V'ni Ena Atzul V'ni Atzul V'ni Atzul V'ni Atzul V'ni Atzul V'ni Atzul V'ni So the Birkas HaTeiro are related not so much to the study of Torah, but to teaching of Torah, particularly to the act of transmitting Torah, of passing on. V'ni anachnu v'tzeinu v'tzei amcha b'yis Yisroel, kolomu yedishmecho v'leim disaratecho lishmo, and the conclusion is strange. Baruch Ato Adoshem, not a nation Torah of Israel, and the one Torah of Israel. The Almighty Himself is involved in the Masora community. He Himself passes on, transmits, teaches. So that's why the Birkas HaTeiro emphasizes, and we pray that the word of the Torah be sweet in our mouth, in the mouth of our children. And we all, the whole community, grandfather, father, grandson, great-grandson, we could all together, all of them, know by name and study the Torah Lishma. That's why Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, when we are good. Before, there was no need to say, to pronounce Birkas HaTorah. Before Avodim HaYidu, because we did not speak of the Mitzvah of Torah. We spoke of Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim. We started Avodim HaYidu. The Paraitation of Yishov Yatzazok Yisrael Yitzir, we also, we will enter the Shmur Yitzir Mitzrayim Aronim, and then we will enter Avodim HaYidu, the Tzar of Mitzrayim, the Tzar of Achon Kron Yidu and Shkenim. We don't speak about teaching, we speak about telling, about narrating, or at best about studying. We don't speak about Masorah, we speak about the second aspect, but not about the third aspect. That mitzvah, Agodoy expresses itself in teaching, in passing on, in turning over, in transmitting, letting somebody share my knowledge. We don't say it. When do you begin to say it? When are you ready to say it? When you are ready to pick up the third aspect? With the story of the four sons, to make it about them in different areas, with God or with God. Then you know who they are. So it means that we are ready to fulfill or to implement not only the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Tumimut Torah, but Talmud Torah of teaching and passing on and letting others share in our knowledge. So, that's why we remember that in order that it's worthwhile to make say a broch, a benediction for the great privilege that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon us. Not only to know the Torah and to study it for ourselves, but to teach it to others. In particular, to be a member of the Masorah community. It's a great and strange community. Begins with Meshech Kibbutz Eirah Mishina in Sora Yeshua. It will never end. Once we are going to join that community, so we have to pronounce which benediction? Birkas HaTorah. That's why you say it in an abbreviated form, namely Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmos and Teron Abba Yisrael. And we are going to continue. Can I get our Baruch Hu? So how many aspects would you be covered? Please be the man. All right. First aspect was the first aspect. Reading, technical reading. John was not blessed with a great mind. John had no opportunity to study. John came from a different background, was not provided with necessary knowledge, which is required for a study in depth. We can also participate and share in the mitzvah Sifra Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is the first aspect. What is it? Just to read. Who cannot read? Everybody can read. It's a simple. Second aspect. Limit for yourself. Understand. Explore in depth. Analyze it. The third aspect. Is the great privilege which was granted to us to join the community of the Masorah community of which the Almighty is a member. Would you like to join that community? Don't have to pay any dues. Now we are the fourth, yes? You have to. There is something else in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the structure of the Agoda, which is relevant. Regarding the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, The form of narration, the way we tell the story, avails itself of a dialogue, say, now, so forth, of a dialogue. One acts, another person answers. The whole recital, basically, the whole recital of the Agape is a response to one. There's two, four questions which were addressed to the people by a young child, a naive child. Well, without this Manish Tami, you cannot start. You cannot start Agape from Agape Mayim. There is no one to ask, so there is no need for an answer. The whole recital responds to these four questions asked by the child. Not part of God from Avodah Mayim. There is no one to ask, so there is no need for an answer. The whole cycle responds to the four questions asked by the child. Now I have a fifth question. Arises. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to dramatize that the child should ask? And you try to stimulate the child, the curiosity of the child, in order to make him ask. Child is sleeping, he's hungry. But we try to make him. Why is it necessary? So why did it require this kind of dramatic conversation, of dialogue, of asking? Of dialogue, of asking and answering, of inquiring and responding. Why was it necessary? I believe that this law is not helped by basic idea. God reveals to man only if man searches for him. If one is not inquisitive, if one expects God to reveal himself without making and no long effort to find him, he will never meet God. The custom is on, we must also, this great custom is on, as a shemere kecho, we must also, this is the shemu becho, the levecho, the whole of shecho. From thence you will seek the Lord, and thou shalt find him, if thou search after him with all thy might, with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Nachmanides, in his comments on the verse, in Sichnei Tidreshu, Bosh Hashanah, his habitation, we shall seek, and thither thou shalt come, says the following. שתלכו להם ארץ מרחקים, ותשאלו, איי דרך בית הראשון. You should come to me, the Almighty says, from distant land, and you should inquire Where is the road leading to God's habitation? The searching for this sanctuary, the curiosity to know where the sanctuary is per se a great experience, redeeming and sanctifying. The curiosity hallows the effort of man and makes the pilgrimage meaningful. When Yisrael asked Moses, what do the people do in your place the whole day? Yisrael didn't understand. Yisrael had an elect clergyman, they had asked for a sitting congregant. But when he saw that Moses spent the whole day with the people, he asked, what do the people do in your place? Or what are you doing for the people? Matra, Yisrael, Omar, Zeh. What did Moshe answer? The first answer, I gave him a few answers. But the first answer, but I want to obey the quotation. In your day, your home, I lead research over to you. The people come to me because they search for God. The people are God thirsty, God intoxicated. They want to find God. They search for God, and they want guidance from me. The first night of Pesach will try to stimulate the curiosity of the child. Will try to make him inquisitive. And we want, because the story of Mitzrayim is a story of a long search on the part of many generations for God. We'll finally find it. We'll come close to us. And we want the child to join this march of the Masorah community. And how can a child join this march if not by asking questions during the night, during the Seder? To arouse the naive curiosity of a child is like making a child a God searcher. What is more beautiful than that? So now aspect number five. What is Agada here? The search for God. Yes, ma'am. Let's recount. Let's imagine those are bellows. Let's recount. Technical readings. One, next. Study. Three. Masero. Four. Search for God. Four, not two. We don't be free of the whole. To search for God, not only to find God. God will never reveal himself if the person is not inquisitive and doesn't search for it. Now, aspect number five. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the whole Seder, is structured around. I am afraid to say the last word. Around what is this? Structured around, revolves around what? Pseudo. A meal. Nothing sensational. A meal. The framework within which the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is attained and fully realized is a plain Suda's Yom Tov. a meal, a holiday meal. You want me to prove it? Or you believe me, I have to prove that. Because this is a great, we call it chiddush, even though it's simple. The first act, as a Seder, is, you know what, how you begin the Seder. It was chiddush, Kodesh Kodesh, remember. The first act, the chiddush, is an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want you to understand that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night begins with the Kiddush and concludes with what? This is the Broche of Mishtabach, Melech Kilchei Olamim, or Melech Mulo Batish Boches. The bench in Birkes Hamoz on Pesach night is not the ordinary Birkes Hamoz of an ordinary Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. The Pesach Birkes of Birkes Hamoz is an integral part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'll explain it to you. And so is the Kiddush. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that the word that we must not recite the Kiddush prior to Shkia, to sunset. Even though we are ready to postpone the drinking of the wine until after nightfall. It's not the drinking of the wine, as the Magen Avraham wants to interpret, but the recital of the Kiddush. This itself is the first act. At Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Apparently, the Kiddush and Passover night has a double connotation, double meaning. It is Kiddush because Pesach night is holiday, the little yonder, and it is incumbent upon us to recite Kiddush to usher in the Shabbos. By the recital of Kiddush, the Shabbos and Yom Tov. And secondly, the Kiddush itself is a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. First of all, the Kiddush is considered as a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I would say that's very simple to explain. Why? What do you say, Amen? I beg your pardon? Yes? We said something, I didn't get it. What? No. What do you think? Correct. Yeah. Which course is it? Supposed to be. No. If you meant this way, say you're wrong. No. Because the Ashaboch Abom Nikolom is the third expression of freedom or redemption, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe. Rekach Teshem Limaron, Re'eh Lachem Lomiti. Without his hands, and this is basically the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So before we start telling the story of the Avod, of the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we declare right away that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has fulfilled this promise and chose us as a covenantal community and as a separate, unique nation. This is number one, correct? This is number one. But there is another reason. I believe the second reason is the true one. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in Pesach night is implemented through two ways of implementation. I mean, both are necessary, are indispensable. One medium is what? What we just say? Correct? Word. Spoken word. This is Agada, Agora. Second, if you said it first, you mentioned it first, let me hear it. Through eating, through consuming food. Simply. Very strange. Because Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh, eating a Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh, I mean, pursues actually two objectives on Pesach and Moreh. Namely, one objective, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh. There are several matzahs, what was possible, I was there, or matzahs, Moreh, and Yichlu. Second, the eating of Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh is an instrument or a medium of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We will tell the story by eating Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh. Not only by using the human gift of speech, the spoken word, but by acting like a natural being and eating those particles, religious articles, I mean, the symbolic food items, who won't fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Who said it? Rabbi Soloveitchik said it, so you don't listen. Who said it? Rabbi Gamliel, of course. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Gamliel in his statement, Kol Shel Yom Afresh Dvorim Meilu B'Pesach, V'Yotzei V'Chavosei, as if he stated, I mean, that the eating of Pesach Matzah Moreh is a part of what? Is a part of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We can tell a story by using your vocabulary. We can tell a story by doing something. And you do tell the story of Mitzrayim in two ways. By speaking, by speech, and by acting. Acting in the sense of eating. And Rabbi Gamliel, what did Rabbi Gamliel add? That before you eat Pesach Matzah Moreh, we should interpret their symbolic significance, connotation, what they symbolize, Pesach Matzah Moreh. In other words, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a blend of storytelling, Torah teaching and partaking of a meal. A funny blend. A combination of the spoken word and a physiological function, such as eating. Today, Pesach night, means an intermingling of physical pleasure with Torah debate. We don't want to debate, all right? As an activity which is motivated by biological pleasure and which is not characteristic of men at all, this animal activity, this one medium, one part of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the other part consists of God's word. Combination of both is the story of Sipur Yitzias. Combination of both represents Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim to perfection. And Kiddush Asher Sin, the Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov, or every Shabbos. We must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Why? One must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Because before Kiddush, whatever we eat before Kiddush will belong to Suda Shabbos. And the Jew is enjoined from consuming the Suda Shabbos on Shabbos. As simple as that. Then you know the halacha, you all know the halacha, ain't you the shalom came sure.
Why is it?
That if I say kiddush and the kiddush is not followed by a meal, so the kiddush is meaningless. Because the function of the kiddush is to usher in the surah shalom. This is the introduction to surah shalom. If kiddush is not recited, whatever a Jew eats and consumes, there's nothing but crumbs from the surah shalom. And the Jew is obligated to enjoy to eat Shabbos exclusively a Suda Shabbos. I'm not speaking about Shabbos. Kiddush makes the Suda a Suda Shabbos. And Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and Pesach night is the combination of Abode and Sude. I would rather think that Abode is structured and revolves around Sude. The frame of reference is Sude. We understand very well. So Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is not only consists not only of a mirror of the glory, of speaking, of saying, of pronouncing, of using my deep speech, which God bestowed upon me. But by a combination of the spoken word and physiological activity, which is being raised and elevated to great height by being combined with the spoken word of God. As a matter of fact, I'll just let me interject. I could have omitted it. Sude as a service. Sude as a service to God. Or Sude in the presence of God. Pinyut in the presence of God are central ideas in Judaism. Judaism wanted to achieve to create an institution which prima facie is absurd, that man is obligated to eat in the presence of God. That eating, consuming food is a holy function, a meaningful performance, but something great to it if it is done in practice properly. And that is, for instance, a verse like Vayomi Arim, the whole picture of the soil. Le'echol lechem in Chesem Meshe, with Ne'olotim, that Aaron and the elders of Israel came to eat bread in the presence of God. All such verses, like Vachalkol with Ne'adishem Rekecho, were so completely alien. And the border from the paradoxical, as far as the Greek civilization was concerned. In the Greek civilization, you have legends about Diogenes, who used to hide himself when he ate, because eating is an animal function, and the man should not exhibit animality. Aristotle couldn't understand how can you serve God with your stomach? You serve God with your mind. Jacob Schiff, when he once visited the Shulchan Aruch of Chalchana, and he walked into Rabbi Aronovitz's room, and he was saying the Shir in Viredeya. The old timers still remember him. So Jacob Schiff asked the guy, what is the old man saying? What is he teaching them? So he told him, it must be about Melicha, how to solve me. So he said, I don't support institutions. Religious institutions which are interested in this topic. Of course, the first chelak of Yeredei interest concerns with the stomach, not the abdomen, no question about it. But this is the greatness of Yahweh. To teach the stomach or the human body to behave in the presence of God is more difficult than to teach the mind to behave properly in the presence of God. If you start with the mind, you'll fail. If you start with the body, you may succeed. And whoever knows the expressions Shulchan Shalom Mechaper, as the table is like the Mizbeach, which grants atonement to the person who eats it, will understand what it means, what the word Sudeh means, or denotes. And around that Sudeh is the whole Seder structure, and Sipurit Yetzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah was integrated into the Sudeh, into the institution of Sudeh. Now, what is it nowadays? What's the number? Tzitzit. It's not called as my Tzitzit, sorry. Of course, you'll take first the second aspect, Limud, the third aspect, Masero. The second aspect, Limud, the third aspect, Masero. The fourth aspect, Search of God by the child. Of course, all those aspects don't apply to Mikra Bekoim. Now, typical, even though Mikra Bekoim is involved with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as far as the pilgrim is concerned, was a simple act, reading and that's all, consisted of reading and that's all. Rimud, Masera, Search of God, is typical and characteristic exclusion of the Agoded Pesach. Now let's pick up the fifth aspect of the Agoded, of Sipuritism. Fifth. Are you counting it? Oh yeah, here is the sixth part. Sixth. Even though both Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by the Mevi Bikurim, by the pilgrim, are rooted in Akoras Tevo, as I stated before. The ways in which gratitude is expressed by the pilgrim and by the Jew Pesach night differ from each other. Mikra Bikurim consists of shevach, or expressing thanks. Agodah consists not only of shevach, but of shiro as well. What's the difference between shevach and shiro? This is an element which was completely overlooked by the Mefarshei Agodah. They identified shiro with shevach. It's completely wrong. No, I'm... What? Shevach is what? No. If you'll be less philosophical, it'll help. Ah? Just over there. Would you raise? Where was the song? What? What has we planned? Shira is spontaneous. You are right. Shira is spontaneous. But it's still. But you didn't answer my question. Now, I might apologize, right? The Mikra Bikurim, the
the precept of gratitude is fulfilled indirectly by telling the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are no special words of praise. There are no explicit words of praise. In the Rami Lidovi, from the beginning to the end, there is not a single word which we use in order to express our thanks, our indebtedness to the Almighty. What do we do in the Rami Lidovi? And the way the pilgrim used to say, what the pilgrim used to do was describe the fact, narrate the story of the events which happened. All agenda were superfluous. The duty of a chorus favor was discharged by describing the events. This is considered Sheva or Hallel. What do you say about it? Is it a chorus favor? All one is supposed to do. Was supposed to do. When the pilgrim came to the Beis HaMikdash, who was to tell the truth, nothing else. What happened? I understand. There was implicit shevach, implicit word of praise in the descriptive, in the narrative about events. Correct. I would like you to quote the Gemara. Yes, you are right. But if you don't tell the story, it's there. There was no need for extra word of praise. All the Torah wanted the pilgrim to do is to tell the truth. And the praise is implicit in the truth. Correct? Now, yes. It's a Gemara, yes, what's the Gemara? No, it's the wrong thing. When the Gemara asks the question, why is there no Hallel on Purim? What is the Gemara answer? To read the story, Megillas Esther is the highest praise. There are no words of praise to the Almighty in the Megillah. You just read the story, you understand the story. And by reading and understanding the story, you understand that God supervises the events and is responsible for the salvation. This itself is like praise, equals praise and glorification. This is kind of the philosophy which the Talmud applies to Megillah. In other words, thanksgiving is implicit in the narration itself. But on the night of Pesach, are we satisfied with just the descriptive story? Possibly not. On the night of Pesach, the Shevach is expresses itself explicitly in the words of praise. We narrate the whole story. Yet we are not satisfied with implicit praise. We sing a hymn. Here I come to your spontaneity. We sing a hymn. We recite Hallel. We say particularly Shiro Chadosh. And Israel, I apologize to him now. And Shiro Chadosh means spontaneous. I don't ask whether it is necessary or unnecessary. Perhaps the description just of the event would be modest praise. Nachrich Boko does not need Hallel, nor does he require of a person, to sing to him a hymn. Sing a hymn to him. But on Pesach night, the Jew is not only grateful, he is overflowing with great gratitude.
It is a night of ecstasy. When man is God intoxicated, it's the night of a little baby, the day of Eve, when you say Shir HaShirim Pesach night. Shir HaShirim is the motto of the holiday of Pesach, of the 7-8 days of Pesach. It is the romance. I mean, Pesach initiated the romance between God and the community. Maimonides was asked, once, not asked, he objected to the practice. What he asked, what right do we have? What right do we have to praise God and to cite many attributes of God? Who is man? Foolish man. Does foolish man have a right to praise the Almighty? Does man, as Maimonides calls him, Shayim kan umocha bekever. Today, Rabbi Mezakai had applied the same thing, the same title to man. Shayim kan umocha bekever. Today is here and tomorrow in grave. Foolish, I mean, limited. What right does he have to sing the hymn to God? My man is subjected to the Shira Yichud and Shira Kovet. So, what did the Paitonim answer him? What did Chassidim answer my man? Exactly. You ask for license? I'll tell you about the license. Philosophically, we have no license. Philosophically, it is arrogance. It's an arrogant act. It's impudent and insolent on the part of man to say of God, okay, la God, la God, la God. What right do you have to say? Do you understand what God is? Do you have access to the Almighty? But the license is to be found in our inability to suppress our longing for God and our desire to praise Him. And in men must sing a hymn to God. The hymn is foolish, yes, from intellectual viewpoint, it's absurd. But we cannot suppress, we cannot remain passive. We have to sing, no matter how foolish it is. And in the day, in the day, in the day. It's a Pesach night, the Jew asks no questions. He's overflowing with love, with gratitude. It's not enough to describe events. He does describe and I run away from it. But when it comes to the fourth cup, he feels it. And falls off all control, so to say. And begins to say, Hallel, 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 and Mishpas Tochai, Kroah, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Of course, Mikra Bikurim is just descriptive. When the words of praise are implicit in the descriptive narration, while Pesach night, the words of praise are spontaneous and exquisite. Jew sings a hymn to God, whether he is qualified to do so or not, no questions asked. He has to do it because he must do it. You know the old saying, the tanz val de mus. Now, what the aspect? What aspect is now? We have to solve this. Say that, right? The Himu Re'etia Kodesh Baruch Hu Es Aveseinu Mimitroyim Arionu Vnei Vaneinu Mishubodim Oyinu Mifare Vimitroyim. Do you recognize the sentence? Do you identify the sentence? All right, where is it? Where is it? Megillah, where is it? No, I want to know. At the beginning of that one. Good. Next, he repeats the same sentence, of course, using different words, but the same idea. The whole day over there, Chayavodom, Vivis, and Satsme, Kiloyotom, Mitzrayim, Shinema, Vishon, Eitzim, Isha. Do you recognize this sentence? Huh? If I were to give an exam here, to identify certain states, certain sentences, how many would fail? חוזר בדרך העבוד המזכס עצת סמיתי והוא יהיה אותם במצרים. שמיינה ועיסה מהייתי משם. הוא בואו הנה. אם זה עבוד היה. לא כוס על זה. אז הוא נקבור את זה מגיעו את זה. כן, זה כבר פסח, אז הוא נקבור את זה מגיעו את זה. אז הוא בואו הנה את זה. After we conclude the parsha Sarami and Yedovi, we are about what? We start Hallel, saying Hallel. So we insert the Bechodeh Vadeh Chayim Adam Leres Atzmei to the Yotzom Mitzrayim. This is second. There is a third quotation, it's similar. The Yishu Amdol HaVeseinu Velonu, Shoechot Bovada Medulainu Lecha Veseinu Lecha Nisborchu Ma'atzoreinu Miyodam. Do you recognize this sentence? Yes, right. Let's analyze those three sentences. The first we make right at the beginning of the recital. Correct? V'ilu eitzach eshvoch eshavseinu mitroi. Arionu v'neinu v'nei v'neinu mishibot v'inu atarad mitroi. In order we make it at the very beginning of the Agore. Very beginning. We just start up a Nifah Mitzrayim right away. Matthias Mitzrayim is not an event which occurred at 3,500 years ago. No, it's important. It's relevant to us. Why do we say it? In order to explain our interest in events which occurred long, long, long ago. It is worthwhile. What question do you want to answer by making this statement? What question do you want to answer by making this statement? What's the question? About irrelevance. Who is interested? If you tell a story, people have got to be interested. Who is interested in what happened 3,500 years ago? I'm not interested in what happened today, this morning. I certainly have no interest in. In events which transpired 3,500 years ago or more. So what is the answer? No, you have to be concerned with it. They merit your interest, your concern, because they are relevant to us. If not Gulas Mitzrayim, no Jewish people would have come into existence. Arionu, Vaneinu, Vnevaneinu, Meshubodim, Vaneinu, Vafar, Mitzrayim. That means it is relevant to us. Since it's relevant, what does it merit? If it's relevant, what does it merit? It's part of curiosity. It's got to be recorded and told. Which event is recorded in history or which event is not recorded in history? Huh? Relevant events, not only for the people, for contemporaries, but for future generations. And that's exactly what we say. The events which are going to narrate are very relevant to us. Because if those events hadn't taken place, the whole Jewish community would not have come into existence. The second declaration, what's the second declaration? What do you say in the second declaration?
Yes, sir.
What do you say in the second declaration? You're correct, but what do you say? Correct, you're right, but what do you say? The second declaration you make after the conclusion of the narrative part of the Agada, when we are ready to begin the recital of Hallel. The reading of Chodeh precedes Lefichoch and the recital of Hallel, correct? In this declaration, we state that events which transpired so many years ago are not only relevant to us, as we said at the beginning of the recital, but that they are a part of our historical experience. There's a difference between being relevant and being experienced. Here we stress the uniqueness of our relationship to the past, our intimacy with the past, then our retrospective experiencing or re-experiencing of such events will transpire at the dawn of our history. The Jew has a capability to experience history. But if the Jew has that capability to experience history, why is he fighting for Eretz Israel, for the state of Israel? He feels very close to that state, to those sites. Okay, from Arabic, Baras and Achkela, the Yehuda Veshemra, and he pronounces Yehuda Veshemra, so what's so great about Yehuda Veshemra? Because it's a certain intimacy with the past that you feel, and he's unique in that regard. It is the ability to re-experience in retrospect events which took place so long ago. And that's what entitles us not only to be concerned and to record events and to tell about them, but to what else? To say hello, to sing, to dance, to say Tzivu Chadosha as if the events happened just yesterday, as if I had witnessed the events. Now, what is the third declaration? So you have two declarations. So one declaration is related to relevance. The second declaration is related to war, to re-experience or retrospection, historical retrospection. What's the third declaration? Yeah, I know the declaration. The third declaration, Bishop, introduces a completely new aspect. Namely, new motif. Namely, what motif? That's what I'm asking. I didn't ask you before. Yeah, what do you want to say? Yes. What motif is it? I want to know. I want to label you. Amalek motif. What is Amalek? Not a has been, but who is present everywhere, and whose defeat will usher in into the eschatological era. In Hashem Sholei Matzim Mochi Zareh Shel Amalek. Before the two declarations, from Hilul Ha'etzim, Chaldei Avodei, one deals with relevance, the other deals with re-experiencing. But re-experiencing when? In the past. It's a past event. Both declarations speak of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as an event in the past. One declaration says it is relevant to us. The second declaration says we experience it. But still, the events lie in the past. Not in the present. We celebrate Pesach and we observe the Seder and the Seder body in order to memorialize what? An event in the past. It is remembrance. Living remembrance, but just remembrance. And this Yom Tov HaRishonim along with Me'echot Vavadim introduces an Amalek motif. Those events, they occurred 3,500 years ago, you say. Just yesterday. Just before yesterday. Last year. We are not sure that it wouldn't occur tomorrow morning. And a week from now, and a year from now, and a century from now. Because then over there, every generation is confronted by a Pharaoh. And I must tell you, the Pharaoh in Egypt was in the next one going. The Pharaohs of today are by far worse. In every generation, this is the Amalek motif. In every generation, there is somebody who is possessed by psychopathic, cruel, bloodthirsty hate And the target of hate are we, Jewish people. We celebrate the festival not because we remember, not because we experience, but because it is a permanent drama. Every generation lives through the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, Yetzias Mitzrayim is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the story of Jewish destiny throughout the centuries and millennia. You want to know the Jew? Read the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You want to know what happened to the Jew yesterday? Yes, that's right. Today? Yes, that's right. What will happen tomorrow? Yes, that's right. Of course, one has to use his intellect to understand the story well. And that's why the story is not just reading. The story is studying depth, problem of Masera, passing on, because it is the eternal story of an eternal people. And you know our minute that when it comes to Yisham Dol HaVeseinu, when you cover the matzah, when you pick up the course, when you say Yisham Dol HaVeseinu Velonu Yishlechot Dolvat, Oma Dolvinu HaVeseinu. Why? What's the idea? You're covering the matzah because you pick up the course. Whenever you pick up a cup of wine, you cover the bread on the table. That's understandable. But why pick up the cup of wine? It's just a minute, of course. Wow! Why is it necessary? Because the cup in biblical lingo has the connotation of death. Mishanta vashemen reishi, koisi revoyo. My cup is overflowing. It means my destiny is overflowing, fulfilled. Because Yeshua says so, v'shem adeshem echo. That is, we want to proclaim that the story which are going to narrate through the medium of reciting and interpreting Parshas Rami Davidovich, we just say it before we start, say O Madna Bikesh Lovana Rami, is not the destiny, is not the story of the past. It is the story of our eternal destiny. Okay. These, I mean, those three aspects don't belong to the pilgrims. They are typical of the Agode Pesach night. So how many aspects did we cover? Seven. All right, enumerate them. Enumerate them. Just run, listen. First is clear. Next. Lemon. Next. Three. Next. Stretch of God. Four. 3 days, five. Shevach. Just a moment. No, yeah. No, just a minute, Joe. You made a mistake. Clear? One. Limit two. Just a moment. Don't confuse me. Limit two. Masero three. That's. No, Suda. It's four, and Suda is five, and the eternal book of the of our destiny. Shira 6:7. So now we are speaking about eight. Right. The eighth Esther is a very strange one. I never told it anybody. My secret until tonight, that we might. I want you, I mean, the listeners here, not to misinterpret me, and not to draw conclusions which are wrong. And at least to have patience with me until I'll finish explaining this aspect. All right, I'm very curious now. So I hope you won't fall asleep. The Mishnah says, the Derech Parsha Parami Evidovi, and he interprets the section of Parami Evidovi, Hachi Yigmir Kola Parsha Kulo. until he concludes the whole passage. In fact, we don't recite the whole passage, not at all, from beginning to the last word. We omit the last one, the last one and a half sentence. A sentence and a half which is omitted when you don't say. Where do you start? Where do we start? As far as the recital of the parsha Aram Eledori is concerned, where do you start? What is the last sentence? No? Who knows what God will have? Vayishma Hashem Yisraelinu Vayarash Yenim Samolenu Vazlachatenu Vayikim Hashem Yisraelinu Vyot Chazokom Zrein Yituyo Uvimeiro Godel Uvayisis Uvimeisim. Here we start, Vayisis Uvimeisim. Devaracha Vyot Chazok Ashtayim Vayisis Shtayim Vayisim Shtayim Eilu Yasabakish Eilu Yakish Boruch Al Amitzvah Mitzrayim Leilayim Gam Tfadeh Rab Judo Yenetim Ben Simonim Vetzach Hadash Vachat. Correct. And then we say so we start the Eisei to the Mitz. When you read the parsha Aram Aram Eledovi in Chumash, where it's recorded for Chumash, and the way the pilgrim used to recite in Beis Hamidrash, of all, they used to add a one and a half pasuk by the Einu Al Amokim Hazeh. ויתן לו מסורת הזייס, ארץ זו והסחול ובודבוש, ואתו אם הבייס לי את ראש עשרי אדומו אשר נסעתו ליד השם. As a matter of fact, if you look up this three, you'll find midrashic interpretation of the last pasuk as well. Very strange. By the end of the mock maze, יוכל לארץ ישראל, חמוד לאין לה ויתן לו מסורת הזייס, ולומר מוק עם זה, זהו בית הבחיר. זה פרסט בסדר. הוא ימיד וון ונהח פסוק. ואילנו לעמוק עם הזה ואיתו לו מסור את הזה ורזו וסחול ובדוש ואתו אם הביתי עשרי שספרי אדום השתתו ליד השם. There is no doubt and the mission in the Rambam confirming that the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim used to say everything, including the sentence and a half, no doubt about it. ואתו אם הביתי עשרי שספרי האדום אז נסעת על יד השם. זה כבר הסימפו. Of course, we could not recite the last part of the verse. ואתו אם הביתי עשרי שספרי האדום אז זה לא apply to the God of Pesach. However, we could say the first part of the verse, by the Einu, very important statement. And give thanks to the Almighty for being a Soret, for the inheritance of the land. You don't get it. Question is why? The tough question. Why? It is tough because no one asked. Well, now let me hear suggestions from the audience. I never spoke about it. You can't quote me. Yes, what do you want to say? Let me give you two answers. One answer will be explosive. It will blow up the hole. The second answer is the truth. But there is a lack of truth to the first answer. There are two answers to this question. Answer number one, and please listen carefully. Were we to mention the verb of Biasoret, by the Inu Al Amokim Hazeh, by Yitin Lones Oret Hazeh, the result of Chol of Dvosh, in the section of Arami Eile Dovi, at the Seder table, Pesach night, we would give the impression as if ובאבי שיש אומר לו אורץ, אשר נוסוסייס יודי לוסייס לאברום יצחק ליעקב, הוא אומר זה פסוק. ואבי שיש אומר לו אורץ, אשר נוסוסייס יודי לאברום יצחק ליעקב לוסייס להם. Very, in the era, within what context was this pasuk, in what context does this pasuk appear? The Dalet Lesheni Shabula, let me read it. The Tzeisi Eschem Metachasilis Mitzrayim, the Italti Eschem Avedosom, the Goalti Eschem Bezreya Netuyo, who Bishpotim Gdelin, ולוקחתי אסכם מלאום, ואיסי לכם ולקי. דוס ויצאיסי ויצאותי וגואלתי ולוקחתי. קאנסטי ג'דואר, חבר'ה רוב נורדה. סומן את רושת שמרדוי אותו. זה אבא לשני שגו לו, before idioms, or before, let's say, expressions, or media of Gaulia, of redemption, of freedom. However, in the next verse, the Almighty continues and says, "Va'avisi etchem el'oretz asher nesosi es yodi lo'osis eitzal Avrom yitzchak u'le'yakev." The question is a Zionist question. Shall we count the Va'avisi as the fifth idiom of Gevurah, or should we ignore the Va'avisi? The Va'avisi is not the fifth idiom of Gevurah. Don't defend any causes now. Not if I meant. I don't need anything. Yeah. This is the question. Of course, there is an opinion by the Ram, we don't know exactly, that if he's thirsty, he may drink a fifth course, a fifth cup of wine, and recite over this cup, Hallel Agodo. So apparently the Rambam had the number five of us. He was not sure about number five. He doesn't belong to the table of freedoms, of four freedoms. So then we have not four freedoms, but five freedoms. Or doesn't it belong? Since we all drink four cases, no one drinks five cases, I don't know, perhaps a young Jew, I don't know. But I saw great Jews drink just four cases. So it means that the conclusion is that Vaveisi does not belong into the table of the four freedoms. Because if it had belonged into that table, if it had been a part of that table of four freedoms, then there would have been not Arba cases, but Chomish cases. The expression Arba cases, everybody knows. Chomish cases, no one heard. Did you hear of Chomish cases? I didn't. Even though somebody wrote a book on it. Why do you have to mention name? This would have been decided. Is Vaveisi, because Vaveisi belongs to the table of freedoms, or doesn't it belong, would have been decided by what? By the way we recite Aram Eledovi. If we had recited Aram Eledovi in full, including the Pasuk by Yaveinu, אלו אורץ, על המוקים הזה, ליטן לון וייטן לון, אס אורץ הזה, ארץ חולב, של את חולב ודבוש, had it been recited by Jews throughout the world on the first night of Pesach, then Vaveisi Boeiro would have joined before Rishene Shogula, before Egypt of Gula. But since the Vaveinu al Amokim Hazeh, Vaitlon et Oret Hazeh, was left out, was omitted, that the omission has actually, eliminated the Vaveisi Eschem from the table of freedoms, and we retained four instead of five freedoms, correct? Why was it omitted? Why was it omitted? Or Chazal was omitted. Why was it omitted? And why actually the table consists of four and not of five? What do you say? Just a moment, there's nothing to do with it. Why was it omitted?
No.
Tradition knows four aspects of Guru, correct? Four dimensions of Guru. Not five. The Vaveshi is not counted. There are two reasons, and both reasons are true. The Vaveshi is not counted since the grant of the land was not due to the new promise made to Moshe. The represent four freedoms which were announced to Moses for the first time. No one else prior to Moses has ever heard of that promise. The four great principles of freedom. Vaveshi was not announced, Moses was not the first one to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has addressed the Vaveshi. The Almighty himself stresses the fact that he promised the land to the patriarch, Ashon Associates Yodi Lavrom Yitzchak Yaakov, who was his Kohen. He included the Vaveshi in the message of redemption, which was revealed to Moshe. However, Vaveshi per se belongs into the covenant of the patriarchs, not into the Mosaic covenant, which was concluded in Mitzrayim. The Vaveshi is a part of the patriarchic covenant, which was reached with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob, of course. But it was not a part of the covenant of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The covenant of Yetzias Mitzrayim consisted of four freedoms. Namely, the Tzeisi, the Tzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, not a type. The Vaveshi was addressed for the first time to Avraham Avinu, but not to Moshe. Moreover, why not? Moreover, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Not at all. The purpose which the Almighty pursued by taking the people out of Egypt and setting them free is not the entry into Canaan. Even though the latter was the destination where the people who were heading after they departed from Israel. V'alechem me'eni Mitzrayim te'leret zovas v'aknani aprizi eret zovas v'olo v'dvosh. Yes, it was the destination, but not the destiny. There is a difference between destination and destiny. Between destination between destination and purpose and goal. If I travel from Boston to New York, my destination is Boston, is New York. But my goal in traveling is not New York, but something else. I don't know what. The destination, certainly, was Eretz Yisrael. Meoni Mitzrayim Eretz Aknani Achivim Ayvusi Vatrizi Vagirgoshi Eretz Zov Aschala Vedmosh. Wow! I'll bring them, yes! But this was not the purpose. What was the purpose? After the Gauti, what comes after the Gauti? The Yokachten, Mamed Arkina, Martin Taylor, the formation of a new community as a Mamdeches Kiyan in the Gay College, of a kingdom of priests in the holy nation, of Matan Tere, who wants to have a Lakachti, was realized, so Yetzias Mitzrayim is justified in the world. The Almighty said to Moshe, V'zeh lecho eiz, ki onechi shlachticho, וציה בעיץ יחו אפרום ממצרים, תבדו לסלקים, מה להור הזה, מה זה סיטלים? Moshe, Moshe complained that he's not a man who fits to be the representative of the people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis the Mitzrim, Pharaoh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the following, Moshe, I selected you because the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not economic political freedom, the attainment of economic political freedom. Had I wanted to grant political economic freedom to the people, I would have chosen somebody else as leader. You are not qualified for that. However, the ultimate end of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the transformation, is the formation of HaMamlechas Keili, the Gei Kodesh, a people of Torah, of a scholastic community where the teacher is the central person, figure, as far as part from yes. The purpose of the Exodus is teaching people, it's teaching slaves how it is possible, how a slave can become a prince or a member of the Malachas Keili. I don't need a diplomat, I don't need a commander-in-chief. Had I needed them, I wouldn't have chosen you. I need a great rebbe, a teacher. We should show the miracle to transform the people within 7 weeks from slaves into Mamlechas Keili v'Gei Kodesh. And for that job, you are most qualified. And I want you. And this is the reason that I have selected thee, because the Tziachor is only Mitzrayim. After the people will depart from Mitzrayim, your job will not be to conquer a land, but to teach them how to worship God on that mountain, the Mount Zion. That's exactly the reason. For a meeting, the last verse from Parshas Arami Ledovi, because this is not included in the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached with Moses, and this is not the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Velokachti. Period. They chase it, it's out, they go out, they Velokachti. Period. Later, I can promise you, maybe, but they say some of the words, I shall not success your day, not because of Tzias Mitzrayim. I shall not success your day, La Avrom Yitzchak Yaakov was for him. I'll do it, but the table is limited. Four. The highest is the Malakach. The Malakach is the purpose, the goal, the telos. The Vesi is outside of it. I promise, I address my promise to the patriarchs, I'll fulfill my promise, but does not belong to your table. That's why there are batesis in that Chodesh cases. Because the Veitzesi, by the Eino Lamochim Azeh, was omitted from Arami Ledori, and the Veitzesi was taken out of the table of Chodesh. Let me say, Pesach is the festival of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach is also the festival of Matan Torah, because you know Shavuos was appended to Pesach. It's called Atzeres, a stay over from Pesach. You know that. But Pesach is not the holiday of Matan Torah, of Bezos. It is not the festival on which we celebrate the entry in the Eretz Yisrael. And the most important. Because the purpose was the Lakachti, and being so Oretz is outside of the table of Oretz. So you'll ask me, so being so Oretz is an important event in our history. Our bond with Oretz Yisrael is strong, invisible. Not even time can defeat our what shall I say, our loyalty to the land. So the Torah does not tell us to observe the Bias Haaretz, to celebrate Bias Haaretz. Yes, we do. Maimonides gave the answer on Sukkot. What is the character of Sukkot? What kind of a holiday is Sukkot? Maimonides and Meir HaNebuchadnezzar, he said, this is the holiday of Bias Haaretz, of the inheritance of the land, of the entry into the land, of the conquest of the land, and of our eternal rights to the land, not this land. Let me read a quotation from my mother. I believe, my mother is right, that the four species are symbolic expression of our rejoicing that the Israelites changed the wilderness, no place of seed, or of figs, or of wine, or of pomegranate, or of water, for a land, for a country full of wood and rivers. In order to remember this, we will take the fruit which is the most pleasant of the fruit of the land. Unquote. What does my mind say? Sukkot is the Yom Tov of Bias Haaretz. My mind has mentioned the mitzvahs of Bar Minyan, typical of a celebration which is associated with the land, with the producing land. I'll also mention Sukkot, mitzvah Sukkot also. Mitzvah Sukkot, mitzvah Hamayim, all those mitzvahs have a certain link with the land. Because the mitzvahs are representative of the celebration of the holiday because of Yerush HaFarad. Pesach we observe because we see the time, Shavuos Matzeret, Sukkot Yerush HaFarad. Hence the Vayeinu Lamokim should not be recited on Pesach. We do not belong into the table of freedoms, we drink four cases and not five. There is another answer. Because this answer does not remove one question, does not meet the question in total. The Mishnah says, "Achidina parsha sarami netovi kula." So how could the Mishnah say? I gave a reason why the last verse is not omitted. It's omitted because Sukkot is outside of the table of four freedom, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed to Moses. But still, the Mishnah says, "Vegeinu kol parsha kula." It concludes the whole parsha. I believe there is another answer. I mean, it's up to you to choose. I have no doubt that at the time during which the sanctuary stood on Mount Moriah, with Manshim Samigdash Shoyakayom, and Yisrael al Admosom, and the people were on their land, we used to say with great love and gratitude the last verse by the Inu Al Amokim Azeh, Vayitem Lo Nesoret Azeh Yisaret Zavat Cholo Vedmo. With great enthusiasm, with great excellence, we felt duty bound to thank God not only for the Exodus, but for the entry into the promised land and for the construction of the Beis Hamikdash as well. When the Mishnah said, when the Mishnah speaks, I want to know, the Mishnah is an Arabic Sochim, speak of Pesach during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, not of our Pesach in Golan, but Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, while the Beis Hamikdash was still on Mount Moriah. Then the Jew used to say, Arami Vidovi, from beginning to end, by the Einu Al Amokim Azeh, ויתן לו מסורת הזה, ארץ ומסחום המדוע. ואתה עם תפצ'ים, לפעמים יש לו דיסטרוי, ארץ ישראל קנקה בי דאנמי, the Jewish people driven out the land. Chazal apparently doubted the propriety of thanksgiving on the night of Pesach for a land which lost its children and for this amigdash in shambles and ruin. And they, after whom, they eliminated the last one. Which one do you like better? Which one do you like better? First, amazing. I also. But you'll be in the minority. You'll be in the minority. What I'm concerned as far as the first parent is concerned, with regard to the first answer, with the Mishneh Achigemia Kola Parsha Kula. Not Kola Parsha Kula. Of course, according to the second parent, the Mishneh is beautiful in the text. The Mishneh is a Kabbalah from the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Then they used to say the whole parsha. After destruction of the temple and departure of the Jews from Eretz Israel, they eliminated the last one. What? No, it is. No. For instance, the Mishnah says also Bikurim. Kol ha-parsha kulo, even maybe left out the sentence. Because these are the call up our shikula even maybe left out the sentence. Because this was is out of context completely. Right. So how many do you have? How many have there? Eight. So how are you two? I'm afraid I'm going to pay you interest. One more, another zero. I don't know. You count. So now let us redefine. What does that mean? After all, I mean, before you, 5 minutes of eight, if I had asked you what are God and man, so what would you have answered me? What would you have answered me? To read and to say to Rosh Hashanah. But now he has a new concept of God. What first? What's number one? Tria. Next. Limud. This one. Next. Masero. Next. Ah, from God is four. No, Suda is five. Shira is six. It's a declaration that God is an eternal book. It's seven. And then what? And then the goal. What is the goal? The goal of the fiasco. The goal, the telos of the fears of man. Yes. The destiny. So how many after 10, how many are we missing? We have eight, two or three will be. I'm closing now. Adrivari. The 15th night of Nisan is a night of ecstasy, as I said before, of love and gratitude. Hence, we thank God not only for the chesed he bestowed upon us in Mitzrayim. This would be a limited way of expressing gratitude to the Almighty. Just for the events in Mitzrayim. The Jew on that night, why was it? Was God aware and God loving him. He suddenly reminds himself of many, many acts of endless kindness which God bestowed upon him, for which he is indebted to his Maker. Everything he is, everything he has, everything he will ever have belongs to God. God created him, God sustains him, God feeds him, God gives him whatever makes life worthwhile for him. Should he thank for that? I mean on the night of Pesach? Or should he live out all the chassarim? Just limit his praise to the events and occurrences which transpire in Mitzrayim with every 500 years. Of course not. So he extends the praise from the length of Mitzrayim to current events, to himself, his own life, the life of his household. And he says, and the part of their godliness consists in telling God nothing else, in addressing to God nothing else but the childish praise. Thank you, God, for everything. And that does the Jew in Birkas HaMazon. I told you there is in Birkas HaMazon the part of Sukkot Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Akkad. How is it a part? Well, she's so much in the middle of Mitzrayim, but this is not enough to integrate, it suffice to integrate the Tias Birkas HaMazon into the framework of Sukkot Yetzias Mitzrayim. No, this is not the part. Because the Sukkot Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Hallel, the Shevach, is extended. His Hallel, not for event in the trial, but for current event. And there is another. This is the nicest there. But until now we spoke about Hallel and Shire and praise and glorification for the event in the trial. Not for other events in the world. But there is another problem. And why thank God exclusively for ourselves? Why not express gratitude for everybody? For mankind as a whole. And why only for mankind as a whole? Why not acknowledge our indebtedness for God's kindness, not only to our man, but to our every flesh, every plant. Why not thank God for the flowering bush in the backyard, for the flying seagull over the waters on the beach? The Shira Chadasha does it, embraces everybody, everything. Thanks on behalf of the universe. Renasing Lechem Lechol Basa, Kilerilam Chasa. All the world is saturated with his chesed. Azone Fakir. Man, animal, seagull, the bush in my backyard, and the flowers in spring. And finally, this is which aspect is it? Ninth. And finally, the Shira Chadasha reaches out beyond the present into the future. I mean, we are used to the idea that you thank God for something he did to you already, for help he extended, for sustenance he already gave, for life he already granted. Why? I have faith in him. Grant me many more years. He'll give me help. He'll make possible for me to accomplish things of which I dreamt so for so long? And why not thank him, not only for the things he gave us, but for the things we are sure he is going to give us in the future? And the Jew has this funny concept of future. What is future? Near is the future. What is the future? Tomorrow? No, Achris Hayamim. What is Achris Hayamim? The end of time. Is it tomorrow morning? Next day? Next week? Next month? Everything is at the end of times. A distant future. According to Yahadus, all that depends upon man. We can accelerate the march of the future, the march of the eschatological era, we can slow down the march. On Pesach night, the Jew only, once a year, says, Hallel, I sing the hymns of the Mishpacha, for events which have taken place there, for events which we have faced there, will transpire, and for the realization of the great hope. Abaye Mahu, Yad Shonach HaDeshver, Nishmas Kol Chai Tevarech, Eshim HaDeshver.